everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Gallery. I'm your host, Claudia Osorio. If this is your first time tuning in to The Gallery, do not fret. It's okay. This is only the second episode. Tonight's episode is pretty great, though, because I have a very special guest with me. Her name is Maddie Whitaker. She is a... How would you describe yourself, Maddie? A friend of the city? Houston's finest?
I love Houston.
Yeah.
I am a friend of the city, and the city is my friend as well.
Nice. So welcome back, because you recently moved to Austin. So thank you for being here tonight. I know you're very busy with your upcoming single release and all of your vodka that you're toting around. I saw that photo online, and I was like, I really hope she brings me a case.
Oh, yeah. I brought a few bottles down to share at the... release party tomorrow.
Nice. So. All right. Well, let's dive right in. So you recently moved to Austin to join the much loved and much admired Sailor Poon. How long have you known Sailor Poon? Well, how did you get involved with them? I guess I should ask.
So I actually moved to Austin, before I joined Sailor Poon and before I even knew that I was going to be a part of that group. I moved there for a couple of personal reasons, and also I just wanted to explore the city and get some new in my life and try to just get to know the community out there and also build more of an Austin following for my band Wit, and be around people that, or should I say, I wanted to be around a little bit like steeper competition. But I'd known Billy for a couple of years. She's one of the main singers in Sailor Poon. She plays saxophone. And she did a poster for our band a couple years ago. And I saw a post on Facebook that was asking for someone in Austin with a green grassy backyard. And I was like, I have that. Let me send you a photo. It all worked out. They came over for their photo shoot that they were actually doing for the tour that I went with them on. And I was jamming with my old roommate, I was playing guitar, and they summoned me to the backyard, and they're like, come say bye. And then they asked me to come to practice in like 2 days. Like, hey, you play guitar, do you want to join a band and come to practice?
So they slowly integrated you?
Yeah,
that's what happened? You kind of, like, well, by osmosis?
Sort of slow. It was like okay, I went to the practice like 2 days after that, and then next week they're like, or for the next week they're like, hey, do you want to come play with us? You want to play with us at Hotel Vegas in Austin? Do you want to come play with us in Lake Charles? Do you want to go on tour with us? Do you want to do a record with us? And I was just like, yeah, sure.
Yes to all of it, absolutely.
Yeah, great, yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah, absolutely. So what were you doing here in Houston before you moved to Austin?
I was helping run the Wofford and playing with Wit and doing some independent shows and, that crazy stuff.
So your Wit single release show will be at the Wofford here in Houston.
Right.
What does it mean to you to host your show at the Wofford, which is honestly one of the coolest gems in the city, in my opinion?
I love that place so much. It means a lot to me. We weren't originally going to do it there, but we ended up having to move the show from the previous venue. And, I mean, that place is like my home. I've laughed, cried, danced, played so much music in that place. It's safe for me, and I have a lot of really good memories there, and it's a piece of the community that I hold very dear to my heart, because it's a place that really opens up the doors, or its doors, for a wide variety of artists, and they just get to express themselves there and do their thing. And it's just, for me, to be involved with any type of place that contributes to the community in that way, like, it just feels really good.
Yeah, one of the first times that I went to the Wofford was actually for a podcast taping. And
is it Stacks?
Yeah. So I was there for that, and I immediately fell in love with it. I went back. I've been there, I want to say, 4 different times.
Cool.
For shows. And I remember thinking the first show that I went to, I had already been there for the podcast taping, and I was like, how is this going to work? Because it's so small. But I mean, it worked, though.
No, it's totally small.
Yeah, no, but I went in there, and it was really badass. I mean, we were all really cramped in there, but we were all fucking, like, just raving, and
it forces you to like break down these barriers of sometimes like personal space.
Yes.
It makes you really get to know the person yes. next to you.
Absolutely. And I was there trying to take some photos, so I just have a bunch of blurry photos of just like sweaty people, and it was awesome. But the intimacy that the Wofford adds, I'm a huge fan of, and you can just walk in and out, which is really cool. But yeah, I really like that homey feel, and I'm really excited that your release party is there, because I will be there for
Yay.
That. Hopefully taking more photos and video footage of sweaty people, a mass of sweaty people.
Yes.
So what's interesting is that we were actually brought together a couple of months ago because of an incident that happened here in Houston, that it came to light that a local booker was harassing women in the scene. You spoke to that at the very first meeting we had, which was a workshop to sort of show us how to book our own shows, how to stand up for ourselves and do things for ourselves. You're an advocate for women not just standing up for themselves, but also being active in the scene. And if they want to play a show, they can go ahead and book it themselves. And if they want to reach out to local venue and bar owners to create safer spaces, then they should. What impact do you think it would have in Houston scene for women to start speaking up and just taking a stand?
A very positive one. I actually was talking about this with Mary Walenta, who is working with Anna Garza on that.
Damn Girl. So yeah, we're Damn all Girl. On Damn Girl yeah, yeah, together. Yeah, yeah. We're all a part of this collective, which is so beautiful because it came out of this workshop.
It's such a loud voice and a really, it's not shouty. It's more uplifting and zealous and encouraging, and I really like that. There's a lot of different personalities that can be portrayed whenever you walk into a leadership role or a group that, you know, powered by numbers, essentially. This group is not domineering. They're not full of put downs. Their arms are open, and that's what I really like about it. It's a force, but it's a welcoming force instead of an oppressive one, yeah. which I think is really great.
And our focus right now is actually to start educating women in the scene. Well, not just the scene, but in general, for people who just want to go to a show and enjoy themselves and not have to feel threatened in any way. But what I've really enjoyed is, not only did I meet you at the first meeting at that first workshop, but as we kept having the meetings, more girls started showing up, more women.
Cool.
And it has been really great. And just people that I have always admired and really looked up to that I now consider friends, one of them being Miriam from Giant Kitty.
Yeah, she's cool.
Ah, man. She's incredible. So I'm really excited to be a part of that, and I'm really sad. I was just thinking about this the other day because you were at that first meeting, and that's when we met. You're not here for it, but would you be willing to still be involved with it every time you come into Houston if there's something going on?
If I'm available and there's something going on, like, cool. Like, I'm sorry for hitting the table. No, it sounds awesome. You know, I am flying around so much, not literally like on an airplane, but that'd be cool. Maybe one day. But
maybe one day. Personal jet.
Oh, man. Anyways. But no, I wish that I had more time to dedicate to something like that, because it's really beautiful. And, you know, I was talking about this with Mary the other day, too, where, you know, such a really unfortunate event that took place before spawned such a beautiful like course of action, you know, like the cause and the event, you know. And do I agree with the things that took place before that led up to this? No, not necessarily. But at the same time, I feel like some of the best and most productive and beautiful catalysts of change come from a destructive, dark period or an incident. I think that the force is a lot stronger now. Like, this is generating a lot of fuel. for artists all over.
A lot of momentum, for sure.
A lot of different mediums. Yeah, it's almost like lighting the fire under our butts. It's like, we don't like it, let's do something about it. Do we have feelings? Let's talk about it. Let's sing about it so that we can connect together, help heal each other, and then also work together to be the change that we want to see and create the world that we want to live in.
Right.
And we want to thrive in, you know.
So I want to lead into a post that you made at the beginning of February where you wrote, "The power of communication can send shockwaves for miles," which was in reference to a local venue owner's email that went public after they refused to book a show and made some incredibly hurtful and insensitive comments. How important do you think it is to call out people who have influences in music scenes like Houston's for being insensitive or misogynistic or racist or transphobic? How important is it to call people like that out?
I think it is very important. I think there's a lot of different ways that it could be gone about. Some may backfire, some are more effective, but regardless, like, people need, I feel like it's educational when, and these people are almost making an example, you know, out of themselves and teaching other people what not to do. So whenever people know about it, I want to learn as much as possible about how to be a better participant in the world. And there's a lot of things that I've learned from call-outs or people expressing themselves, whether I agree with it or not, learning how and how not to be, learning what hurts people's feelings, what hurts someone else's feelings might not hurt mine, vice versa. So it's important to know, you know, how to be appropriate, how to be sensitive, because I know that I don't like it whenever my feelings are hurt. I don't want to hurt anybody else's feelings. And so I think that if we all learn how not to hurt each other by, you know, by avoiding negligence or insensitivity or just downright uneducated statements.
It's just like, maybe think before you speak.
Yeah, but that kind of helps people, like, oh, I remember that time when this person said this thing. Mm-hmm. It's probably wise that I don't do that because it hurts people's feelings and is inappropriate and unprofessional and uncalled for.
Right.
And, you know, so.
And also, there's just so many ways to go with this, I feel like.
Let's go up.
Right? Just keep going upwards.
Let's go up.
Instead. If we can make some progress and move forward, that would be really great. But I think it's really bringing to light a lot of different issues that have existed for a very long time. Myself being Hispanic, there are certain things that I've had to live with my whole entire life, and people are so surprised when racism just pops up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I've had to deal with that my whole life. You know, this guy at a Subway told me the other day to go back to Mexico where I came from. So it sucks. Our society has a lot to work on. And that's why I'm really excited to have people like you who are so vocal in the community, especially in the music scene, because we sort of look to you guys, because I'm not a musician. I'm not an artist. But I have a lot of friends that are in the scene, and it's really cool to see them start taking a stand, and people listen. They really do. And I think maybe it'll help somebody say, oh, you know, maybe I was being a shithead. Maybe I shouldn't be such a shithead.
If someone calls you an asshole, maybe you actually are being an asshole.
Maybe you are actually
also,
being an asshole.
Also, if you ever see me being an asshole, please tell me if I'm being an asshole so I cannot. Sometimes I'm... You know, sometimes I have a mouth sometimes. I say crazy stuff.
You know.
So if I'm ever rude or if I've had a few drinks and I'm being rude, just say, Maddie, quit being rude. And I'll say, okay, you're right. When you're right, you're right. That's another thing. Yeah.
So I want to bring it right back around to wit.
Okay.
Your single release party is coming up, which we mentioned at the beginning of the show. How did you get started with Wit, and who all is in Wit? Because I was trying to figure, I saw a photo And I was like, I'm trying to figure out who they are, but I don't think I know them. So introduce us to them.
Okay. I love them so much. Okay. So the current members in WIT, myself, and then we have Chico Vella, a.k.a. Sweet Cheeks.
Okay.
He plays drums. Bob Lane plays bass. And McCullough Ferguson shreds guitar and adds beautiful ornamental sparkles and atmosphere and just, he's great. So, but the way that it started, well, my heartstrings are kind of pulling right now. I started with an old partner of mine who I love very much still. Don't get to talk to them, but I love him. And he kind of helped me. I would not have been able to do it without this person. And he was the original drummer. And anyways, sorry, I'm going back in my brain for a minute and feeling things. I'll get to the point. So yeah, so this person, I don't know, he heard my songs, he believed in me and said, hey, I'll play drums with you, start a band. And we've been through kind of a revolving door of bandmates, and it's actually not even I'm the only original member. But we've been around for like 2.5-3 years, and it's only gotten better. There's been some rough patches, but I think that that's part of, like, that's just part of it. Like, if it was easy, everybody would do it, you know, but... you know, we kept going, and now we're in a solid, stable place. Everyone everyone's cool with each other. We all get along. We all know how to talk to each other. We all know how to talk to each other with our instruments. We know how to be honest with each other. We have each other's backs.
You're in a good place.
Yeah, I'm in a good place with them. This is a good group. This is a really good group and the longest lasting group. And they're all they're like brothers / my band dads. I'm band mom. They're band dads, especially whenever I can't be band mom. Mm-hmm. I had some emotional support in New Orleans a couple of months ago. We had taken the van into New Orleans. We were playing at Circle Bar, and I was going through some like crazy personal stuff at the time whenever I had just first moved to Austin. It was not, you know, all peachy whenever I first moved there. I went through some shit when I lived there, really scary stuff, and I was right in the middle of it. But I had this show in New Orleans with WIT. And so, like, the whole time I'm, like, freaking out in the back of the van, like, trying to sleep. And I couldn't sleep the night before. And I was like, I have to sleep so I can play a good show. And tried to take a nap in the van. Chico comes out to the van. And he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm not okay. I'm not. And he's just, like, held me for 5 minutes where I, like, bawled in his arms. And then afterwards he was like, all right, Maddie, we're going to go play a rock and roll show. You ready? We're going to go pump these people up. And I was like, okay. Okay. And then we played a...
And then you went out and killed it?
Yeah, we had played a great show. Okay. And then went to the Saint and danced our asses off. And we're out till like 5 in the morning. And then Bob drove us home because he didn't drink. So yeah, actually 2 of the members don't even drink. So it's usually just Chico and I like...
That's cool. You get contact high, I know. Contact drunk from...
Contact high from Bob.
So how did you come up with the name WIT? What is WIT?
Okay. It's a couple of things. I had originally... This is my narcissistic self coming out here. It's the first syllable of my last name, but I also made sure to Google it and see if it was an actual word, so I wasn't just like, oh, it's my name. No, I wanted to make sure that it was a word, or see if it was a word, and if there was a definition for it. And the definition is a small yet essential piece of something much larger than itself, which ties into my love and roots in choir and in choral music. And so, because that's what I love about choir, is that you could have a choir of, you know, 15 to 100 people, but each one of those people are completely essential and important to creating that huge sound that you get whenever you listen to a choir. You know, you have all those voices, but all of those people have to be there in order for you to get that, and that's cosmic to me. So whenever I found out that that was the definition of a WIT, I was like, that's the answer.
Well, I'm over here trying to Google WIT Houston, not thinking, and it just kept bringing up Whitney Houston, and I was like, God damn it, this is not what I want. I was trying different combinations, like Houston, Texas, WIT, and it kept bringing up Whitney Houston.
You say WIT now, say WIT, W-H-I-T, now, and then, like, all together.
WIT now.
And that's kind of, like, our, like, our, what we Wait, do all of our
what?
URL Wait. Things, internet. Internet stuff. Say WIT now.
But
Houston's great, by the way. We were listening to that on the way.
By the way, we love her. We love her. Miss her. Miss her dearly.
The harmony, the lower harmony on I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Oh my God. That is like my dream song. Good. If I were to ever to go on a singing competition, that is exactly what I would sing.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would sing.
There's always karaoke. Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah. See, I dream big because I could have said karaoke, but I didn't. I said voice competition.
Hey, set your standards high, you know? Reach for the stars.
I have no business. I have no business at a singing competition, much less trying out. I just want to see how the nation would react to me singing this song.
You'd be so cute. But your stage presence is great. I imagine you with your microphone and your hand up, and you're just smiling real big with the, like, the pageant wave.
That's how I do it.
Dance with somebody.
Here's the record label contract. Please sign. I would sign right away.
Sign your soul away.
So what is your recording and songwriting process like? Does it differ for different bands? Do you contribute to Sailor Poon, or have you gotten to that point where you've contributed to them?
Yeah, I've been writing some songs with them.
Nice.
WIT and Sailor Poon are different. Very different. Very okay. different styles of music. I don't have to sing in that band, which is cool. I'm not responsible for anything else except for playing guitar and being a teammate. And if I have an idea for a song, present it. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And, you know, like, that band's really cool. It's super, super collab. Really cool ladies. But yeah, that's also like rock and roll, though. Like, that's like way more rock and roll. It's heavy. I get to get a lot of my, like, aggression and fuck yous out, you know? And yeah, that's great. So the writing process, usually Billie, though, she writes, she has like the skeleton or the core idea. And then maybe somebody else has a bass line or a riff or something, and then we just kind of all go from there. And right now we are recording an album over at a friend of ours' house in Austin by the HEB on Pleasant Valley and East 7th.
Hell yeah!
But for WIT, I'm the main songwriter for that band, and that's kind of that's crazy. It's usually what happens. Okay, usually what happens is I'm at someone else's house playing their instrument, and I come up with a riff or two or something while I'm just playing and messing around. I usually end up feeling most creative whenever I'm around people and in, like, not my home and not playing my instruments. And so I'm usually playing somebody else's instrument, or I'm on a different instrument. And then once I latch on to that, or I attach to that idea, then I'll bring it to home and I'll write. Usually it's riffs and guitar lines, and I'll try to put a couple of parts together. And then simultaneously, but not, well, like, actually it's more parallel. I wouldn't say simultaneously. So then on the other side, you know, I'll be somewhere probably having emotions, because I have those a lot, and I also cry a lot.
As every artist
does. Oh, God. And, you know, I'll, like, sit on my... I'll have a thought or like a rant in my head, and I'll kind of just like half poetically rant some feelings that are vague. And then, and I have a bunch of those in my notes on my phone. And then usually I'm juggling around like a handful of song, like skeletons, and then like skeletons of songs and a handful of notes from my phone. And then I'll kind of sit down and I'll say, okay, well, let's look at this piece of music right here. What words go with the feeling of this, of these tones? And then I kind of do it like that. And then McCullough really helps me like refine the words. And at that point, I've usually heard the riff too many times to where it's kind of hard for me to come up with a melody if I'm still playing it. So I'll record the melody and then maybe sing over it some ideas. McCullough is really good at helping me with that too. Yeah. And then we recorded at Sound Kingdom in Sugarland this last time. And for our next one, we're probably going to be at Wolf Island with Kevin Skrilla in Dayton. So
you mentioned earlier that you guys played a show in New Orleans. How long ago was that?
The week before Thanksgiving.
Okay, so it wasn't too long ago.
With Wit. That was Wit, yeah.
That was Wit.
And then Sailor Poon played at the same bar, at Circle Bar in New Orleans, okay, in January.
What's your favorite city to play in?
Well, I love playing in Houston just because I'm always, like, it's home for me.
Good answer.
That's a great, it's so fun. I love playing shows here because it's like, my family's here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so, but whenever we were on tour, when I was on tour with Sailor Poon, oh my God, we had such a good time. Atlanta was awesome. St. Louis was the shit. They have this really cool venue called The Sinkhole, and it's run by kids that are like our age, these two sweet, sweet dudes. And they have, like, their bar, they have like the shittiest beer and the shittiest liquor. And it's cheap and great, and their sound is really good. And in the bottom, there's this basement, and it's this giant, they've converted it into this giant practice space with all of these beautiful vintage amps, and it's just, they have all, like, they have drum kits and organs and guitars and just all the things, and I got to jam with them until like 4 o'clock in the morning, like, with a bunch of strangers, and like, and you had a good time.
And then you woke up and you're like, I'm in St. Louis.
Yeah, and then we went to the City Museum, which is awesome. It's like this giant jungle gym, but like really artsy, like urban jungle gym. It's only like $12, and there's all these weird like crawl spaces and cave holes and things, and you have to like crawl to, well, okay, so there's all those things, and then there's slides, there's like 20 slides or something, but you have to crawl through these weird spaces to get to the slides, and then outside you have to, there's this really big tunnel. It's, I mean, it's really high up, like this is about a four-story building, and this tunnel is about like on the, like in between the second and third floor, but outside, and it's like a cylindrical cage that's about 50 feet long, and it's so scary, but it's so cool, and I conquered my fears. I almost turned around and didn't do it, but I did it. Go to the City Museum and go to the Sinkhole if you're in
St.
Louis.
That sounds like a good time.
Pardon
one that
rant.
I would never expect to have
that
in
place
St.
is
Louis.
Cool. I heard that you should be careful though, because there's kind of like a like a circuit where people like break into vans and steal vans and steal gear and stuff.
Well,
but
that
no,
happens,
we didn't have any problems.
That happens
that's
here
everywhere.
Too, though.
There's crime everywhere. Like
everywhere.
Just be smart and look around and maybe carry a knife on you or something.
Or don't leave your very expensive camera in your car like I foolishly
or
did.
Cover it with a bunch of stuff. Okay.
That sure didn't work.
Really?
That sure as hell didn't
work.
Look
like a hoarder. That usually deters people from breaking into your car. If you just look like you're a hoarder, like, I feel like,
I just like,
oh,
want to be
mess
as
with that. They probably don't have
nasty as possible and just like leave like
just a bunch of trash on
pizza
top of
slice
it.
And like a burrito, yes. Like half eaten burrito exposed.
Perfect. There you go.
Well, that's what they get. That's what you get for breaking into my car.
Oh my God.
Assholes.
Hope you're hungry.
You're welcome. I fed you.
I bought this burrito for you.
There you go. That's my offering.
Oh God.
You mentioned earlier choruses and how you loved being a part, or the concept of being a part of something much bigger. Were you in choir when you were younger? Were you choir kid?
I was a choir nerd. I loved choir so much. I did it since I was in, cool, I don't know, like fifth grade, fourth grade or something. All throughout school. And then in high school I did the varsity choir, the chorale at Klein, and that's where I graduated. Anyways.
Whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You went to Klein High School?
Yeah,
I went to Klein Collins.
There. Oh, cool. Spring-a-ling-a-ding-dong.
Go to the spring.
So glad I don't live there anymore.
I live there. I live there.
I'm sorry. Make y'all move, girl. What are you doing out there?
Living with my parents.
That's okay. If you can. I really support people that if you can live with your parents are cool, they believe in you, and they're trying to help you out. Like, yeah, parents are great.
Like, yeah, I mean, my parents have gotten to the point where they're just like, you know, but when I was in college, you know, I'd get home at like 1 a.m. and my dad's like, what are you out there doing at 1 a.m, blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, just really upset because I was like, I don't know what you're insinuating, but I wasn't doing anything wrong. And so now I'm 27 years old. Now I'm 27 years old, and like I think the other day I got home at like 3:30, maybe 4, and my dad the next day was just like, "You didn't put the alarm on." And I was like, that's not what I was expecting. And then I realized I'm 27 years old. And at this point, my parents are just like, whatever. You know, like, you're an adult. You're grown. you a grown-ass woman. Like, it's fine. So I appreciate that now, which is why I appreciate living with my parents now more.
Yeah.
Because they're really chill and don't mind me being out. And it helps that they know that I'm with Daniel most of the time.
Yeah.
So they know I'm not by myself. There's certainly a need for more female-driven projects in Houston and really actually everywhere. So what suggestions would you give to women who are having an incredibly hard time booking shows or dealing with those influential people in performance venues who don't really value the need for female-driven projects or even projects fronted by people of color?
I love this question so much. Okay. A lot of it is a mental game.
Okay.
It's about attitude, and it's about loving yourself and empowering yourself and believing in yourself and being dedicated and to your dream, you know, your vision, that thing that's pulling at your heart or keeping you up at night because you want to see something happen, you know, something positive, so your project, you know, whatever it is. Believe that you can do it and envision your dream and make decisions every day toward that dream and treat people nicely, even if they're not nice to you. Like, because there are going to be people that are going to be rude, that are going to slam doors in your face, that are going to call you names, that are going to do all sorts of weird stuff. And that doesn't mean that those things are okay. Say something about it, but there is a way that, there's a lot of topics that go into this world that we're dealing with, that we're talking about right now, as far as like booking shows, especially marginalized groups that are trying to do their own thing. Be kind. And a lot of the time, whenever people are acting like that, that's their problem. Keep your head up and work really hard. And if you have any questions about how to do anything, there are people around that are totally down to tell you what to do. You can call me if you want to call me, if you need to know how to write an email to a venue, or if you're trying to get your event sponsored and you need to get some free stuff, I'll tell you how to do it.
And queen of free stuff.
I love free stuff. And my favorite thing about free stuff is that I get to give it away. Like, have it, please. Like, I love that so much. It's not for me. It's not all for me, you know? Like, I mean, I get to enjoy some of it, but it's for everybody. Like, so, I don't know.
And how cool is that, too? That, you know, like, you go to a show, especially, you know, coming back to the Wofford. You're there, you're chilling with friends, and you're listening to good music, and then there's just free stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, you know, tip. Shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, leave a tip.
Make a trade.
Yeah.
Give a hug.
Yeah. Interact.
Tell a joke.
Interact.
Interact.
You know, make friends. So that's really cool. And I really love that you've always pushed that too. I remember that's one of the first things that I remember you telling me was, if you ever need help getting anything sponsored, I'm your girl. And I was like, yes. Definitely.
Well, these companies love to do that because it's, I mean, you're advertising their product,
right,
which is good for them, you know, because when every time somebody sees that brand or that logo, you know, that's going to be implanted in their mind, they're going to have memories attached to that product. They're also going to be that much more supportive and probably buy that product again. And at the same, and which is good for the company. And it's good for me because that company gives me stuff to give to those people so that they continue. It's a little circle.
Yeah.
And so, and I make sure to only, well, I love Texas. I love Houston. I love Austin. Texas is great. I remember coming back in from out of town whenever we were on the road into Houston, and I was so happy to be back in Texas. Beautiful sun. There was Topo Chico. But regardless, I try to keep things, especially with sponsorships, as local as possible. So I love working with Lone Star, which is a Texas beer, Carbach, St. Arnold, Tito's, Kick and Kombucha, like, just Lone Pine, like, they're all Texas. And I feel like that's also the best way to stimulate the economy, too, is by starting, you know, bring it in closer and smaller and help stimulate the smaller economy so that it can get better for everybody else. They're not the man. They are not the man. Anyways. do you mind if I go back on to the last question that you asked me?
Yeah,
go about ahead. I feel like I wanted to say something else. Sometimes I go on tangents because I'm just so excited about things all the time. I think also having a team is really important too. So if you're feeling alone or isolated, or if you feel like it's impossible to do what you want to do as far as book your own shows, create an event or whatever, work with other people, especially people that are more experienced, because you learn from the people that are further along. And back to what we were talking about earlier, power by numbers. And I know that I would not be able to do anything that I do without the people around me. And, for real, I did not do any of this stuff by myself. Like, I love the people that are in my life, and they really help me out. And if you can build a team of solid, trustworthy, loving, knowledgeable people, like, that's what you want to be looking for so that you can really knock it out, you know? And stir some things up in the world.
I appreciate how vocal you are about issues affecting our friends and neighbors here in Houston, but with the current political climate, it's been very difficult to witness what's currently going on in our society. So how have these past couple of months affected you as an artist, and has it influenced your music at all?
Yeah, it has influenced my music and also my events too.
How so?
It's affected a lot of other artists that I know too, especially more of my friends that are people of color or in the LGBTQ community, which I feel like I am more a part of. And a lot of the political things haven't, like, literally affected me very much because of my privilege. But that doesn't mean that they don't still hurt. And because I hurt for my friends, and it's been very concerning to me. I've been worried about the safety of my friends, and I feel like there's this vision that I had when all of this was starting to come around, and, for this event that I'm throwing called Tell Me I Can't. Tell Me I Can't is awesome. I'm so excited about it, mainly because it's this vision that I had whenever I was personally going through some hard times that did have to do with some of the political movement right now, but also just some personal things in my life with a person that was really putting me down a lot for my views and for being vocal about my views, and then also just being myself, but they're not in my life anymore, so it's really cool. But I had felt so backed into a corner, and I saw these parallels, even though they were unrelated. I mean, they were kind of related. But because they were circling around rights and being respectful to other people and being loving and, you know, being, inclusive and et cetera. So I saw these parallels where I felt backed into a corner, and, you know, a huge percentage of the population was probably also felt like they were being backed into a corner. And I was with them, like, you know, in solidarity, support. I agreed, you know, that things were not okay, that there were serious violations that were taking place. So I came up with this concept, and mainly because this phrase had been repeating in my mind like a siren, and it's the phrase "Tell me I can't," basically saying, you know, like, please. Please tell me so I can prove you wrong. And not in a nasty way, but almost in a more like rise above the expectation or the weight that had been pushed down on so many people because of who they were. And so that's why I wanted to make this a showcase and an event and an art event that lifted up POCs, LGBTQ and the like, because they need more of that. The entire industry, Hollywood, music industry, art industry, like, dominated by white. It's so white. And I just got a beautiful VHS collection. But I realized, like, I mean, I've known this for a while, you know, but watching these movies that I grew up watching, it's like, it is so dominated by white culture, and especially male, hetero male white culture. And so I was like, no, like, I don't actually have to say, no offense, these white boy bands who have been going on, rocking and doing their shit for all these years, they don't have any problem. They're good. They don't need any shows. Like, you don't know who needs shows? These people need shows. And it's good stuff. It's good content. It's good product. Like, it's quality art. And that's what it's all about. Like, that was the whole thing.
So Tell Me I Can't is... what would you call it? An unofficial South by Southwest?
Yeah.
Backyard show?
Backyard bash? Unofficial.
I have to say
that so I don't get sued. Unofficial. And that's cool. Like, that's totally a thing. You can say unofficial South by, but you can't have a South by Southwest thing in your title if it's an unofficial event. I learned that a couple years ago.
I see.
And we had to change the name of this event to Snacks by Snacks or some shit. And then we brought snacks. It was great.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's in my backyard, actually, at 1172 Angelina on March 15th. And we're going to have light installations by Jonathan Paul Jackson, Noah Way. This girl Yatta is coming through from New York. And she is this beautiful black, queer singer, artist, eclectic, earthy, glittery, beautiful dance, make your heart sing kind of music.
This all sounds incredible. When is it taking place?
March 15th.
March 15th.
There's 13 bands, though. There's a lot. And there's a lot of Houston bands on there, too. Yes. I kind of try to, like, infect this time with a lot of my favorite Houston bands that also fall into that category. So I'm super stoked about it.
Yeah, a lot of people here in Houston are going to be out in Austin anyway. So
come through, y'all.
Yeah, your neck of the woods.
So much free booze, too, by the way. Tito's, Lone Pint, Lone Star, Kickin' Kombucha is not alcoholic, but it's still tasty. And Topo Chico, and we might have some other stuff too. And Pete Hesher in Galveston. What's up, Pete? He's making his dank tacos. I love his tacos so much. And he's going to be cooking that up. It ain't free, but
you need to get it. No more.
No, he is legit.
Tacos?
Legit.
And alcohol. Sign me up.
We're also going to have some speakers, too. Candice DeMesa just came out with a book, and she's a local Houston author and just a voice of reason and passion. And so she's going to be speaking at the event. Dre Forgotten and Linda Lola. Dre Forgotten runs like a shirt company and works with Donkey Paw. And if you ever need band shirts, go to her because she'll hook you up. And she's just also like a very educated voice of the community as well. And then Linda Lola, her stage name is Via Linda, and she is a musician, and is also in school, I believe, to be a nurse. She's a pharmacist right now, but she just shreds violin and does really cool loopy stuff. But she's going to be speaking as well. All three beautiful, strong, educated women that are going to be speaking about empowerment and change.
So this is going to be the unofficial party to be at.
I hope so. Because it's going to be, like, I'm excited just because there's just going to be so much good there. Like, and so many talented people in the same space. Like, I can't even, I'm freaking out. I'm so excited.
And I'm so not excited.
Even, I'm not even, like, okay, I'm not even overwhelmed right now. Like, I still have so much stuff to do, and I am not, like,
Don't worry about it.
Would be, like, pulling my hair out stressed, and for some reason, I'm just like, all right, I'll be cool. Like, we'll figure it out.
It's fine. It's going to happen, and it's going to be rad.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think everybody should be there. If anybody from Houston's listening, we can just caravan over there. Yeah. Let's all go.
Also, the Megabus and the Greyhound are pretty cheap, and there's a way that you can filter the Greyhound ticket to where you can make it to be, like, $4 or $7. So it's really cheap.
Huh.
Then you can bring a carry-on. Or, like, a thing to put under the bus, and then, like, a carry-on, like a backpack or something, too.
I did not know that.
Yeah. You can bring a tent, because sometimes people will let you camp in their backyard, which is always fun. Mm-hmm. So, bring a tent, bring some clothes, come out to Austin.
So, you're incredibly busy.
Shh, yeah.
Incredibly busy. The last I checked, you were booked for 16 shows in 2 months. Are there any plans for a full-blown tour?
Later. When it happens. Soon. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a date for it or anything, but I just went on tour with Sailor Poon. And then I'm playing a bunch of shows during South By with them. I'm only playing one show with Wit, mainly because I just can't physically be in that many places at once.
Yeah.
And then Wit is about to play a bunch of shows in Dallas, Austin, that are not South By stuff. Louisiana. So we're kind of doing little regional things right now.
Okay.
Where they're not really tours or even regional tours, but maybe we'll do two shows in a weekend where we go to two different cities or something. But we're just kind of trying to spread our seed a little bit around. And I'm hoping that after we release the EP, we'll be able to do a tour, but I'm still in the process of planning that campaign for the EP release. So once that's out, I'll probably do a little run somewhere for a couple weeks.
So you're doing a lot of regional stuff. What has been your experience as a woman touring around Texas? How does Houston even compare, in your opinion?
Houston's easier.
How is it easier? Chill.
I guess it's just because I know people
here. Is it because
here.
It's home?
Yeah. I mean, it's just familiarity, you know. Dallas, I'm still warming up to. I've heard a lot of really good things about Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. And actually, our guitar player, McCullough, is from Dallas. But, I mean, this is going to be, my second show. I think on March 11th, we're playing at Armory in DeBellum, which is in Dallas. So this is my second show there. So I'm still getting familiar with that. But, I mean, it's been cool. It's fine. I like it. I like traveling a lot, though. And I like exploring new places and seeing things and people that I've never seen before. So,
what is the worst experience you've ever had playing a live show?
Okay.
Has anybody just been in a straight up asshole to you?
Okay.
Have you had terrible fans?
We were in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we were playing at this little shithole club, which I love shithole clubs. And the club itself was great. The sound was awesome. The bartenders were so sweet. They would not let me pay for drinks, but I had to sneak them tips. And, you know, they were all cool. But there was this one motherfucker, where we were in the middle of the set, and this is with Sailor Poon, and this guy is getting really close to the stage, and he's trying to steal our set lists before we're done with the set. And Billy, the saxophone player, she's like, hey, no, don't do that. And then the guy proceeds to put cigarette butts in her saxophone. Okay, this gets so good. And so she kick pushes him off stage, away from the stage, because the stage is maybe 2.5-3 feet off the ground. Okay. That's how high it is. Uh-huh. So his chest was about the equivalent to where her thigh was. So she just kick pushed his chest with her boot. And, you know, and then he kind of fucked off after that. And then we finish our set and we go back to the little storage room area to put our stuff away. And he follows us back there and he's getting all in our face. And he asked me for a high five and I high fived him just to make him stop talking to me. And then he, just because sometimes I feel like that, if you just cooperate a little bit, for them to just be satisfied with that little morsel of something, just so that you can just get them out of your face.
Because
I could tell that this guy was drunk, not coherent, you know, not understanding how he was affecting other people. Yeah. And so I was just look, just go, whatever. He gets in Billy's face. She's like, no, you cannot have a high five, go away. Tell him to get out. We're trying to work. Just go away, man. So I go back, because I really liked the set that we played. I loved the song order. I thought it was a really good show. So I went back to the stage to get the rest of my stuff and the set lists that we made. And this guy has a pot, that same dude, has the pile of all of the set lists in his hand. And I go, oh, hey, man, can I have one of those for a reference? I really like that. He rips them up in my face into little pieces, throws it on the stage, and says, it sucks whenever people treat you like shit for no reason, huh? Or something like that. And I was just like, I found out that he worked there, and then I found out that he was the janitor, and I was like, and I still need to fucking call that bar. I don't even remember the name of it, but yeah, man,
let's find this guy. Let's find
him. You're just mad because you're the janitor. Like, you could have just... You don't have to do that. I don't know. Whatever. And then...
Moral of the story, be nice.
Just please be nice. We wrote a... Whit wrote a song about that. Be nice. Please, okay. Please be nice. Don't be mean. Please be nice is the only lyrics.
I love that. We have the backstory to that now.
The backstory to... Well, there's a lot of backstories to that song.
Are there any local bands that you follow and that you're really excited about?
Houston?
Yes, in Houston.
Yeah.
Or it could be Texas.
Can I just do Texas?
Yeah, do Texas.
Okay, Dome Dwellers are dope. They're from Dallas. I love Children of Pop forever. I love that. I haven't listened to Darwin. I mean, I haven't heard from Darwin's Finches in a long time, but that stuff's great. I hear that Moths is coming back, and if you want to just get, like, crazy and get your angry energy out, you just want to, like, thrash in the car, like, or wherever you are, go listen to Moths. And I'm not sure who they have playing drums with them right now, but I know it's Ryan Valdez and Chris Dunaway, and Dunaway plays in Mockingbird Brother, which is also really good. Say Girl Say is coming out with some new stuff, and they have a new lineup, and they've, you know, gone to the edge of the earth and back with that band, and they are really rebuilding and creating some beautiful magic out of their time that they were away from the stage. Myers has got some cool stuff going on. She was playing Blushes, and so that's a really good, like, pop.
From here, from Houston, right?
Yeah.
She's playing tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where is she playing at? Good White for up. Her. Hell yeah. Well White deserved.
Up. Yeah. Yeah, because Mandy Clinton is doing, is opening as Pearl Crush.
Yes. Those are snaps, by
snaps.
The way.
Snaps.
Rosette TV.
Yes.
That's some good stuff right there. Wow, what a good lineup. Mm-hmm. Yes. Good job, Houston. Love it.
See, we do it right.
Hell yeah.
We do it right.
We're going to go see a giant dog later, actually, at Satellite Bar, and go see our homie. Oh, okay. I love Mantra Love. I love them. I love them. And Mojave Red. I love them, too. And Birthday Club. There's so much good music here.
Birthday Club.
Yeah.
My first episode was actually with Valerie Pinchuk, who is in Birthday
she
Club.
She is cool.
Yeah.
She is a cool gal.
Yeah.
Wow.
She my friend.
She's my friend, too.
I love her.
Yeah, she's great. Really,
she's love listening to this. We just go on for like 5 minutes talking about her.
Yeah, nothing but good things to say for sure. She's rad.
Yeah, she's super talented. We had her on previously, but for her artwork.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
her artwork is great.
Yes, it's incredible.
Lots of good bands. Anyways, I could go on.
You mentioned a giant dog. Do you know them?
I actually ran into the drummer the other day whenever I was at my local coffee shop back at home. Because we had got, Sailor Poon had gotten offered to play that show, but like our drummer couldn't do it because she's a builder and she's doing a lot of the build out for the sites at South By. So she's just working like 12-hour days, like 6 days a week right now and just going nuts. So she's like, please don't book any more shows.
What's in store for you in 2017?
Hopefully more growth. Hopefully the divine will be gracious and merciful with how it teaches me these
nurturing
lessons.
Perhaps nurturing wit.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I really want to release this EP. I've been sitting on it forever and I just want to get it out, but I got to do it the right way.
So there's not a set date yet for the EP then?
Correct.
Okay.
It'll be, I don't know, like a couple months maybe, but I don't like to give dates cause I just know how things go. And
yeah. Don't commit.
Yeah. I'm not trying to commit to it.
Don't.
It's going to happen. We at least got this far and we're able to do the single. We have it ready. I mean, it's mastered. Like, we have the artwork. We're good. We're just trying to make sure that,
yeah, like perfect waters.
Yeah,
they're waiting for perfect
waters. We do the
waters.
Press, right? And so
yeah.
Hopefully, you know, we'll get that done. I would love to be able to do a tour with Wit. You know, just keep meeting people, growing as a musician, growing as a, quote, business person, quote.
Making your executive decisions.
Yeah.
I'm a businesswoman.
You can see, I take myself really seriously. Whatever. It's really funny, actually. I was thinking about this. I was like, man, like, one of my jobs is to throw parties. Like,
it sounds perfect.
It's so silly.
Like, the perfect life.
Oh, God. I don't know what's gonna happen, you know, but hopefully a lot of growth and just being productive, just knocking stuff out.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what you do, to see you shine. I'm excited to see you shine.
Oh, that's so sweet of you to say. Really, it is.
So I like to end my episodes asking all of my artists the same question. What is currently inspiring you this very minute? It could be an album, a film, book, or anything that inspires you.
I've been listening to the Dirty Projectors' new album. Mm-hmm. Who, they, whenever I started listening to them, like, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, when did I...
changed my life. It was a huge, huge inspiration for me. And so I've been following them for a really long time, and there's a lot of great memories and human connections that I've made through that band. Okay. And also realizations. I've studied voice a lot to their albums. I mean, Dave Longstreth is an incredible, incredible soul artist. His music is great. And so it's excellent music to study too, and to learn. Like, I mean, there's always amazing new harmonies that you can find to learn, and weird executions. And so that's been really inspiring me, especially the new album. And in a lot of it, rumor has it, it's a breakup album. Sorry, Dave, if you didn't want it to come across like that, but that's kind of what it is. But I understand and I empathize with you, because I know that life. I know that life. That album, you know, is providing a lot of closure for me, because I've the experience that he's singing about is a very similar experience that I've had, that I've shared. And so I think that's really what's been helping it's been inspiring me more internally with my own heart. So yeah.
And in turn, you inspire people as well. Maddie, I want to thank you very much for joining us today on the gallery. I'm really happy that you were able to stop by and have a chat with me.
Thanks for having me.
Catching up with me. So how can people find you, and where can they listen to your music?
Well, be checking in on Spotify for WHIT, WHIT. We just uploaded that, so that should be released in a couple days. Like, out on the iTunes and Spotify and all those doodads. You can also just, I'm on the internet. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/saywit now. Whit, like shit, but with a W. And then our Instagram is also saywit now, too. And then I'm on Twitter, madhouse, H-A-U-S, _booking. So at mad, H-A-U-S, _booking. I just got a Twitter account for like 4 days ago.
That's what's up.
Catching up to the world.
I've had one forever and have yet to really use it.
I'm just using it for promo, and it works. It's so cool. So, and I'm still learning, you know, but
I logged in, and my most recent post was a twin shadow at Summerfest.
When was that? Like last year?
No, it wasn't last year. It was years ago.
Oh my god.
I think I was still in college.
Girl, there's so many music festivals. It's like everything just blends together every
while. I was just like, I'm so up close to Twin Shadow. And that's like my most recent post. And
oh,
I'm like,
so
this
cute.
Is years ago.
Cute.
Well, thanks again, Maddie, for stopping by. And to everyone listening, thank you. You can listen to other episodes of The Gallery by visiting www.thegallerypodcast.com. And feel free to follow us on Instagram at The Gallery Podcast, and like us on Facebook under The Gallery Podcast. If you have any questions or want to be featured on the show, you can reach out to me, thegallerypodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Bye.
Bye.